To be paranoid means to believe in delusions of danger and persecution. If the danger is real and the evidence credible, then it cannot be delusion. To ignore the evidence and to hope that it cannot be true is more an evidence of mental illness. And this week's opening quote comes from William Blaze. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And well, I guess due to the prevailing circumstances in the world today, I'm going to have to touch on the events that have recently happened in Christchurch, New Zealand. The so-called right-wing extremist terror attack that happened at the mosque, or at two mosques in Christchurch. And it needs to clearly be understood that occasionally in the world we do get crazy people who do crazy things, and things are simply the way they appear. But this event, this is an event that seriously has a government-run operation written all over it, and it's really important to discuss this, because this is an event that has most definitely affected a lot of places around the world, and there's an awful lot of disinformation being released about this event as well. I mean, it's been a very well-managed event by the media and by the government. They've made sure to get the conspiracy world totally enthralled by this whole thing and to get them squabbling against each other and releasing all sorts of ideas about what happened. This is, of course, why they've banned the video, or one of the reasons why they banned the video. And just so people would talk about it being banned and give you all of their reasons for why it was banned. And it's really important that people step back from this and remain calm and assess what information we do have and look at it in a logical and rational way in an attempt to discover what really happened with this event. Because, like I said, there's an awful lot of blatant disinformation being released, and I think most of it is being released for a very specific reason. I think this is part of the final end game, folks. I think this is a very, very important event. It's a event that is going to affect the entire world, not just New Zealand. And it's really important when people look at it that they get their facts straight and look at the bigger picture and see how this is going to be played. Because it's always multi-pronged, folks. I mean, it isn't just about removing gun rights from the people of New Zealand, removing gun rights from the world. It's about getting people divided as well, divide and conquer. And it's also about vilifying the independent media, making sure that the independent media gets seen as a bunch of mindless conspiracy theorists, heartless conspiracy theorists who don't care about people dying and who just make up any story they want as long as they're saying nasty things about the government. And it will provide the excuse the government needs to bring in blanket censorship. We have to censor social media. We have to censor the internet because too many people are saying too many things. This is what happens when you get free speech. People just abuse it and they become nasty. So we're going to have to control what people say, what they think and what they do. You watch, folks. That's how this will be played. And naturally, with the independent media, all sorts of people are saying all sorts of things. Many of them have a conspiratorial mindset who like to push that on people. And there's, of course, many people who love this sort of an attitude and they like to parrot anything they see. You know, it grabs their attention, grabs their imagination. They go, oh, yeah, that's good. That's the way it is. And then they run with it and they share it everywhere. And they don't ever check up to see whether it's right or wrong. And, of course, and, you know, as usual with these events, there's an awful lot of arguing over the details and accusations going back and forth. You know, this is what I believe happened. If you don't agree with me, you must be the enemy. That sort of stuff, which is all part of the divide and conquer rhetoric, and they love to do that. So it's really important to step back and look at this, folks, and to examine what we do and what we do not know. And for anybody out there thinking, well, look, no, this is nothing to investigate, there's nothing odd about this at all, really, you've just got to look at what really happened, folks. I mean, look at the details that we do know. We've got a shooter who is presented to the world as being a right-wing, white supremacist, radical terrorist, basically. And that's a really important thing for the narrative, folks. They really want you to see this shooter as being the average white guy from next door who never did anything particularly interesting. He's just a normal guy who suddenly decided to be a radical terrorist and go and shoot up a whole bunch of Muslims. But really, when you look at Brenton Tarrant, it was anything but a normal guy, and his path to get to the mosque in Christchurch was anything but a normal path that people tread. but he's being portrayed as just a normal white guy. And the entire event is also being portrayed as being a single shooter incident when there are actually two mosques that were attacked. And the second mosque that was attacked by at least two shooters, we're told. And only seven people died at the second mosque because someone in the mosque disarmed one of the shooters and chased them out, where they apparently got into a car full of people and drove away. So we're not hearing about that one. They want it to be a single shooter because otherwise it's a conspiracy, and they certainly don't want to hear about someone saving the day with a gun because they want to be able to confiscate people's firearms. They won't mention the fact that had anyone in the mosque been armed, they could have taken out the shooter and all these people wouldn't have died. So really, when you look at how all this happened, it doesn't really fit the official narrative at all, especially Brendan Tarrant being portrayed as someone who hates Muslims. Okay, it's a guy who hates Muslims because he believes that they're invading his country, and so he goes and shoots up a mosque. But this is a man who had recently visited Pakistan, and he had posted how great it was to be in Pakistan. He said it was a wonderful country with wonderful people, and bear in mind, this is a Muslim country. He said he loved the people there, and he advised everybody to visit. Now, 6 months later, he suddenly hates Muslims, sees them as a threat to Europeans, and then right as one of the biggest anti-terrorism drills in New Zealand's history is going on in Christchurch, this man, who doesn't actually live in Christchurch but is actually staying in Dunedin, drives to Christchurch and then goes and shoots up a mosque, doing so wearing military-only issued body armour, using military-only issued weapons. Now think about it, folks. This is while the military were there with these weapons doing a anti-terror drill in the same country, in the same city. And very notably, John Podesta had visited New Zealand just a day or two before and had named New Zealand as a fat, juicy target. You know, a fat, juicy cyber target, but still a target. But of course, that's just a coincidence, folks. And a drill. I mean, seriously, there's always a drill going on when these events happen, folks. Have you noticed that? Of course you have. There was a drill running on 9/11. There was a drill running on 7/7. There was a drill running at Madrid. There was a drill running at the Boston bombing. There's another drill running at the bridge event in London. There are drills running every time one of these events happens, folks. I mean, that should be a sign for anybody. And he's also an Australian, and Australians cannot get firearms permits in New Zealand unless they've lived there for quite some time. And it would be kind of difficult to smuggle weapons onto an island. Think about it, you know, New Zealand is an island. You can't exactly just smuggle weapons across the border. You've got to get them there on a ship or a plane. So how did he get these weapons? And not only that, but he also manages to stream the entire event live on Facebook. Now, Facebook is a platform that has algorithms which censor what we post in real time. And you'll know this. I mean, if you've tried to post something anti-Israel or something, very often Facebook will say, unable to post right now. And you simply can't post the information you want to do. If you try uploading a video that Facebook doesn't like, it won't even upload properly. It won't render properly. It just won't ever become live. They won't let you do it. And yet this guy manages to stream a mass murder for 16 minutes on Facebook, and it manages to evade all their algorithms. Of course, this happened the day after Facebook was down for a day, remember? Facebook crashed, or it was down for maintenance or whatever. So all of the Facebook addicts who spend all their lives on Facebook would have been all back on Facebook, really hoping to get their Facebook hit, and then suddenly this mass murder streams live on social media. How did that happen? And as I said, the day after it was down for maintenance, in inverted commas, what were they doing during this maintenance? Were they changing the settings? Were they changing the algorithm to allow this live stream to happen? You know, and then straight after the shooting, you've got the New Zealand government rolling out proposed gun reform legislation, which must have taken them months to prepare. And there's so much more to it as well. I mean, he had Israeli parents. He had recently been to Israel. Apparently he had trained with the IDF. I haven't been able to confirm that, but that's what I've heard. So that's something that's worth looking into. He'd also recently visited Turkey for 42 days. He'd actually been there twice. He'd gone there for 3 days, and there was actually a terrorist threat at two embassies and a bombing that happened while he was there, and he left the day after that. Then he came back and was there for 42 days. And when you look at it, it's actually incredibly interesting, folks. I mean, way beyond coincidence. There was a great report actually put out by Sybil Edmonds from NewsBud. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll be sure to put a link below, where she spoke about the fact that Brenton Tarrant arrived in Turkey, and the day he arrived, there was an announcement of a credible terrorist threat against the German embassy, and the German embassy shut down on the day he arrived. Then there was a bombing, and he left the day after the bombing. And then he arrived back in Turkey again, as I said, stayed for 42 days, and the day he arrived again, there was another credible terrorist threat announced, and the German embassy was shut down. Now, the German embassy in Turkey has apparently only ever been shut down twice, and both times were the day Brenton Tarrant arrived in Turkey. And when he left Turkey, he went directly to Israel, and he stayed in Israel for 90 days. As I've said, I've heard that he trained with the IDF, but I haven't been able to confirm that. But it's interesting that he would have gone to Israel for 90 days, and there was no question of him entering Israel. I mean, the other places he'd been, I mean, he'd been to Pakistan, he'd been to North Korea, he'd been to Turkey, he'd been all these places that are apparently red flags, but there was no problem at all with him entering Israel. An interesting thing as well is that the credible threat that was announced against the German embassy in Turkey at the time was deemed to be a threat from ISIS. And here we have Brenton Tarrant going directly from there to Israel. And we know Israel is running ISIS. We know that the entire Middle Eastern operation that's happening at the moment is an Israeli operation. Now, it seems very strange that this man would have gone to these places, and certainly way beyond anything that could be classed as coincidence. And now he's suddenly in New Zealand shooting up this mosque, you know. And the New Zealand Prime Minister in her token Muslim headdress, I mean, this, I found this completely sickening, folks, a level of insincerity in that woman. I mean, so there's an awful lot wrong with this event, folks. I mean, there's an awful lot of red flags which suggest this has been a planned and staged and orchestrated event. It's got government operation, police management, false flag, Manchurian candidate, or black ops assassin written all over it. I mean, either this man was a Manchurian candidate who was programmed to do this while he was in Turkey or Israel, or he was simply a trained assassin that was going and doing it because that was his gig. But as I said, folks, even with all that, there's an awful lot of strangeness with this whole thing. There's a lot of strangeness with the video, the live stream they released as well. But having said that, I do not for a second believe that the event was a hoax and that people did not die. You know, I saw the video and people most definitely died. These were real bullets. There was real blood. There were real dead people. And there's, as I said, an awful lot of disinformation being released about this event. I'd like to look at a little bit of that as well and discuss some of this disinformation and what it's all about and what it's all leading to. And honestly, folks, some of the reports that I've seen put out by what are supposed to be reputable sources in the independent media are blatantly false, if not barefaced lies. You know, one of the things that I've seen circulating a lot is the idea that it was CGI, that there are no bullet casings and no shell casings being ejected from the gun, and that the shell casings that are ejected are disappearing in midair. There's one particular scene of the video where he's out on the sidewalk and he's firing down the sidewalk, and the shell casings do indeed appear to disappear in thin air. But what we're looking at is video compression. What we're looking at is crappy bandwidth. What we're looking at is a guy who's got a GoPro on his head that is streaming through a cell phone on New Zealand Wi-Fi. And what's the Wi-Fi like when you're on the go and on the move in Christchurch, folks? I mean, a lot of the stuff you hear people say, oh, everyone's got high-definition cameras now. Why is the film so grainy? Well, folks, I've got a high-definition camera here, but I live in an area with very low bandwidth, and I see what I look like on Press TV using this high-definition camera. And it's a very grainy, very undefined picture that you often get depending on the bandwidth. So what we're seeing is video compression. The shells do not actually disappear in midair. They're just moving too fast for the frame rate to catch them. But you see them actually appear on the ground near the wall a couple of frames later. So people who are saying that this is simply CGI are selling you a false reality, folks, because this is not CGI. These are real bullets being fired. And I've literally seen reports from people claiming to be investigators who are making statements such as, after a detailed forensic examination of the film, I have concluded that this is CGI. And all I can say is if they made a detailed examination of the film, they would have seen the shell casings are appearing on the ground a couple of frames later, and they would have had at least a basic understanding of reality to understand what low bandwidth and video compression is. And so I can only assume that they are not just putting out a misinterpretation, but are actually publishing a barefaced lie. And I can only assume that this has been done for a reason and been done to serve a particular agenda. And of course, that agenda only serves the government. How does it serve the government? It serves the government by vilifying the independent media and showing them as a bunch of morons who just publish false information in order to support their own agenda. Another thing that I've heard a blatantly false report is that the road was closed off, that there was no traffic going past, that they'd blocked off the road so this event could happen. That's not true, folks. There was traffic going past. I counted at least four cars go past on the same side of the road that Brendan Tarrant was firing on, and cars going past on the other side of the road as well. And you've got to think about it, folks. If they were going to go to all the trouble of creating a CGI video of the shooting, why then would they ban the video so that no one could see it? You know, if they're going to go to all the trouble to create this, it would have been because they wanted people to see it. But it wasn't, folks. It was because it was a guy that was live streaming from his own cell phone. As I said, via a GoPro that he had strapped to his head. Or on a helmet or on a hat or whatever, however he had it done. When he's firing inside, you can see plenty of bullet impacts into the people. You can see plenty of blood splatters. The people saying, oh, you can't see bullet impacts into the wall, you can't see plaster splattering. Again, they've got no concept of bandwidth and video compression. And again, these are 223 bullets, folks. They're not real big bullets. They're not the sort of bullets that are going to blow your head apart like a watermelon, like some people are claiming. So again, it's video compression. But again, you can see all the shell casings appear on the floor, on the carpet inside. And the people saying, oh, no, this woman out on the street, she might have been holding something in her hand that she pressed. And the amount of trouble you'd have to go through to do this, folks, I mean, to set something like that up, to get the timing right, to be shooting paint bombs at people's heads, none of this makes sense, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to stage one of these events, if you're going to stage a terror attack because you want to bring in real legislation, you go and kill a bunch of people. Well, you think these people actually care that they're not going to use real people and kill real people and use real victims in these events? Of course they are. Now they go and kill nearly 3,000 people on 9/11. You think they actually care about people? They've just gone and carpet bombed Iraq and Libya and everywhere else they've done. Do you think they actually care how many people they kill? Of course they don't. You know, maybe there were crisis actors. Maybe it was an event. Maybe they got a whole bunch of Muslims and said, hey, look, we're going to stage a drill. We want all you people to show up here. We'll give you all $50 to pretend you're a victim. We want you in there. You're going to hear shots. When you hear the shots, we want you to all huddle in the corners and pretend you're terrified so the SWAT team can come in and save you. We can practice our saving people skills. And you go and do it, and then suddenly you take a real round, and suddenly the whole drill goes live and you are an actual victim. They probably do that as well, folks. You just don't know. But this was a real event, and people that are saying this is CGI, this is a fake event, that nobody died, there were no bullets, this is all complete disinformation, and I have no problem saying it. You know, you think about it, folks, all they had to do was stage something like Sandy Hook, which was an obvious false event. No victims, no event, nothing happened at Sandy Hook. It was a theater operation. All they had to do was stage that. And now everybody jumps on the bandwagon and assumes that every time people are killed, it's a false event with no victims and it's all like Sandy Hook. That's all they had to do was stage one fake event so that everybody would call this with every other event. And everybody jumps straight on the bandwagon. And it's a joke. It's a play. And these are the people that are now claiming that this event in New Zealand is fake, there was no victims, crisis actors, no bullets, all of this rubbish. And it is rubbish, folks. This was a real event, real bullets and real people died. And probably the best person you can go and listen to find out what's really going on with this event is Vinnie Eastwood from the Vinnie Eastwood Show in New Zealand. His sister has friends who died there at the mosque. And this is his sister. She's not lying, folks. People died. And there's a lot of very reputable news sites that are putting out this type of false information. And this is playing directly into the hands of the government, folks. That's what they want you to do. They want you to be putting out all of this blatantly false stuff so they can show just how unreliable and how conspiratorial and deranged the independent media is, and provide them the excuse to roll out blanket censorship of any type of real news videos on YouTube, anything they can coined to be conspiratorial. It's designed to get it all banned. So people who are selling you this story that this is a fake shooting and that nobody died, there were no shell casings, All I can say is they either haven't looked at the video, or they're parroting what other people are telling them to believe, or they're paid disinformation agents. Either that or they're just complete idiots, because this was a real shooting, ladies and gentlemen. And you ask, why would they ban the video? Well, what you're seeing is exactly why they would ban the video, so that all these people would put out all this stuff claiming CGI and they could create this huge fervor. And now it's illegal to even look at the video or show the video, so I can't even show you the frames that I'm talking about, which show the shell casings appear on the floor and show the shell casings appear on the sidewalk outside. I can't show you what video compression does. I can't show you the filters that you can put the video through, because I can't show you the video, because I'm not allowed to have the video. That's why they banned it, just to get this whole thing going. You watch, you'll end up people, there'll be people that'll start sending hate mail to people, victims, families and stuff, that do fundraisers or whatever for the funerals. These people start getting hate mail saying, oh, you're fake, you're this, you're that. And this will put that into the public mind, and the public will be more than happy to see the independent media close down, because they're all just heartless conspiracy theorists who send hate mail to people who've had family members just die. Can you see how this works, folks? Can you really see the bigger picture? And you've got to understand, the people who run all these things, they're thinking three or four moves ahead. You know, we just get stuck on the next play. So much of the independent media gets stuck on the next play anyway. They're not looking three or four moves ahead and looking at what this all leads to and what the bigger picture actually means. And that's why there's so much disinformation being put out about this event. But again, a lot of it has been put out very deliberately to serve a specific agenda, which again is censorship. Like I said, folks, these are always multi-prong operations. It's not just about gun control. It's not just about removing rights from people. It's not just about banning free speech. It's also about censorship of the independent media. And much of the independent media is playing directly into their hands. Another thing that I'm hearing from people is that the shotgun blasts in the car. Later on in the video, he shot a few rounds through the front windscreen of the car. People are saying, oh, it didn't shatter the window out. And when he shot through the side window of the car, he actually smashed the window with the rifle barrel. So it looked like he shot through the window of the car. This, again, is completely false information, folks. And again, this is coming from people who claim to have done a detailed forensic analysis of the video. Well, I would ask these people, did they put it into a video editor and did they run those particular frames through some video filters? Because if they had, they would have seen that the bullet holes actually do appear in the front windscreen, and they can't see them in the original film bit gain because of video compression and low bandwidth. But if they put it through a filter, you can see the shotgun holes appear through the windscreen. I mean, you can't see them all because they're behind the windscreen mirror and behind the GPS, but you can see, on occasion, you can see little bits of these areas that are a different color to the rest of the windscreen. You can see the shatter. You can see it if you put it through a filter as soon as he fires the first round. This is because windscreens are made of safety glass. It's laminated glass and safety glass. It doesn't shatter the way the side windows shatter. You can actually shoot at point-blank range through a windscreen and not shatter the windscreen. You know, if you live in the United States or something, you're a gun owner and you've got access to an old wreck with a modern type of windscreen in it, go out there and fire a round through a windscreen and see what it does. It doesn't shatter the windscreen, it leaves a bullet hole. And have a look at the angle that he fires from when he's sitting in the car. He fires behind the GPS and the rearview mirror. And the other shot that he fires lower, he fires, you can't really see it because of the bonnet there. But if you put it through a filter, like I said, you can see the bullet hole. Occasionally it appears when the frame gets right, when his head gets on the right angle, the camera gets on the right angle. You know, because the camera's on his head and it's kind of bouncing around. His head's bouncing around as he's driving. But occasionally the camera moves and occasionally it bounces up behind the rearview mirror or the GPS or whatever it is there. But there's a little area where you can see a hole through the glass. Yeah, but people don't think about this. They just think about what they believe. I know the glass should have shattered. I know the people inside should have all been screaming and running around. You know, the world isn't Hollywood, folks. Things don't happen the way you think they're going to in Hollywood. In those sort of a situations where people are huddled in the corner, they don't scream. You don't scream in that sort of a situation. You're sitting there terrified that someone's shooting at you. And seriously, terrified, folks. I mean, these aren't people at a gun club. These aren't people at a rifle range. Not people at a rock concert. These are families at a mosque praying. I mean, really, seriously, think about it, folks. What would you be doing in that situation? If someone was in the room shooting at you, would you be wasting energy screaming? You'd be thinking, no, if I scream, I'll just be a target. You wouldn't be screaming, folks. You'd be going, oh, my God, this is terrifying. You would be huddled. You would be in shock. You would be having heart palpitations. You'd be in that state of extreme anxiety. Ever had an anxiety attack? That's what you'd be having, folks. You're not going to be thinking about screaming. You're going to be curling up inside like a little child. Oh, but no, everybody would be screaming because I've seen what happens in mass shootings in malls on Hollywood movies. Everyone's screaming. Like I said, folks, the world is not Hollywood. And these events don't happen the way they're portrayed on Hollywood movies. You don't have blood flying all over the room and plaster flying all off the walls. That just happens in The Matrix, folks. And the amount of rounds that he put into those people, a lot of them would have died very quickly, and what blood was coming out of those people would have gone down to the floor. You wouldn't have seen it appear through their clothes. They had several layers of clothes on. Now, you put a 223 round into someone and they die straight away, they're not going to just bleed all over their clothing. And especially when you see the amount of rounds he put into a lot of those people, and many of those people probably died instantly, folks. And once you're dead, you don't bleed. And there was a guy who was killed in a car accident not far from me a few weeks ago. He was completely mangled in the vehicle, and they had to actually cut him out of the vehicle. But there wasn't one drop of blood on his body because his heart stopped beating the moment the vehicle hit him. He just died instantly. You know, I mean, sure, there's going to be people who bleed, and there were people who bled, but you're not going to see what people are claiming you're going to see. That's the thing. Now, you put a lot of rounds in there. Like I said, these people had several layers of clothes on, so why is the blood going to swell up through their clothes? It would have come out of their bodies and it would have dripped down to the floor. And they were all piled on top of each other, all huddled together. But on some of them, you could actually see blood anyway. So even with that, I mean, the claim of no blood, it's just a false claim. You know, it's going to take a while to see through. So, you know, there's all sorts of explanations for what we saw on that video and what we didn't see on that video. And a lot of people simply aren't taking video compression and low bandwidth into account, and they really should be. And if they're claiming to be making detailed investigations of the video, I suggest they put the video into a video editor, run it through some filters, and actually make a detailed investigation of the video rather than simply claiming that's what they're doing. And hey, folks, I totally agree that this was a false flag event. It's not what we're being told. But a false flag event does not mean there were no victims. It makes much more sense for there to be victims. And hey, I'd love there to be no victims. I'd love to be able to look at the video and find all this evidence to prove it was fake. But I can't want it to be fake, and I can't want it to not be fake. I can't want anything. I need to remove all my wants from the equation and look at it objectively. And when I look at the video objectively and I put it through video filters and I really scrutinize it, I cannot find any evidence that this was fake. None whatsoever. I can find a few weird things about the video. I mean, some of the events were very strange. That's got to be admitted. But I can't find any evidence to suggest that this was a fake shooting, that it was CGI, that there were no bullets or there were no victims. In fact, I can find evidence to the contrary. But again, that doesn't mean that it wasn't a false flag. That doesn't mean I support the government line. I don't. I absolutely think this was a staged event. It has all the hallmarks of being a false flag operation, either a Manchurian candidate or perhaps even a deliberate black ops assassin that went in there to do a deliberate mission. This is actually suggested when you look at Brenton Tarrant's history, some of the places he visited and some of the things that he's done. So there's all sorts of weirdness about the video as well. There's all sorts of weirdness about this whole event. And no, I am not supporting the government line. But people that are claiming this event was fabricated and that it's CGI and there's no victims are just playing into the government's hands. And all I can say is that they must not have looked at the video properly. And if they have looked at the video properly and they're claiming to be putting out detailed forensic analysis of the video, well, then they're liars because what they're saying simply is not true. And I have no stake in the outcome of any of this, folks. Like I said, I'd love it to be true. I'd love to be able to prove that this is a fake video and that there were no people who died, but I'm simply not able to do it. Not with the evidence that's been supplied to us anyway, and certainly not by any analysis of the video. But as I said, folks, having said that, there is certainly certain questions that are raised by this video as well. And that's some stuff that I'll get into and discuss after the break, because I think we have reached break time here, folks. So I'll leave it there for now. and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away, because there's plenty more to come. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So continuing with some of the misinformation that's being spread about this event in New Zealand, another thing I've heard is that the shotgun instantly turned into a rifle during the video. And this is another thing which is blatantly untrue, folks. You can actually see him throw the shotgun down and pick the rifle up. I mean, the rifle is actually hanging from a strap on his right hand. You see, when he gets out of the car, he puts the rifle over his shoulder on a strap and he picks up the shotgun out of the back of the car. He walks up to the building, he lets off 9 rounds from the shotgun, throws the shotgun on the floor and basically pulls the rifle up on the strap in the same motion. So this is another piece of false information that's been distributed. Another thing that's in question is the aftermath video from the second mosque. A lot of people are saying this is not an aftermath video, this is a rehearsal. I would question, if it's a rehearsal, why are the people covered in blood? It seems strange to be covering yourself in blood and leaning against the wall. And there's one guy leaning against the wall. He falls down the wall. Someone has to prop him back up again. There's blood all over the wall, blood all over him, blood all over the ground. Why would they be doing this if it was a rehearsal? You know, I mean, this guy's head's lolling down. He looks like he's been injured. And, okay, if it's a rehearsal and they're rehearsing for the real video, then where's the real video that they were rehearsing for? What's that all about? If the video is going to be banned the way it is, then why were they even rehearsing? Is there anybody who's claiming it's a rehearsal video actually asking these questions? I mean, what's the motive, folks? What's the motivation in faking all of this when you can just go and kill a bunch of people? Someone saying, oh, there's a guy on the ground using a cell phone. He forgot to be dead and decided to use his cell phone. Well, maybe he wasn't dead. Maybe he was injured, and maybe he was calling his family to let his family know that he just suffered in an attack, which is pretty well exactly what you would do if you were in that situation and the attackers had been chased off and you were in the aftermath. If you had a cell phone, the first thing you would be doing would be contacting your loved ones and letting them know what had occurred. So I can't see any evidence in that video that it is a rehearsal. It doesn't appear to look like anything other than an aftermath. People are saying, oh, the camera moves around too quick. Why didn't they take a focus on anything too long? Well, and it's people that are paranoid. They've just been in a shooting, folks. I mean, if the guy had held his camera still and kept anything in frame for a long time, you'd have these very same people say, oh, why did he keep the camera still for so long? Obviously, it was set up to record this. Obviously, it's a setup. I mean, you can't win either way. No matter how it was filmed, there'd be people calling it fake, whichever way you go. That's the thing. But the problem is that they're calling it fake with nothing to prove that it's fake, just because they want to believe that it's fake. You know, but there's no evidence to suggest that, you know. Now, it depends on what you want to believe, and what you believe the evidence you're looking at tells you. It might be telling you something completely different because you weren't actually there. All you've got is a video. And that's the thing, you know, everyone's a backyard forensic expert and all they've got is a grainy video from YouTube. I mean, be serious, folks. Think about what you're saying and think about what you're looking at and think about what the real possibilities are and keep your mind open and remain objective through the whole thing and be careful of what you want to believe. Get all of that out of the equation. Don't have any stake in the outcome. Throw it all on the table and let the cards fall where they may. Now, the reality is that we just don't know what happened at these events and we're trying to figure it out. But the reality also is that there is absolutely nothing conclusive that suggests that this is fake. Not so far. Not in any of the stuff that we've found. You can go that way if you want to, but there is nothing to conclusively say that that is true. And that's called doing research, folks. That's called doing research and remaining objective and not wanting anything to be true. I mean, I know it was staged. I know it was a false flag. I know it wasn't done for the reasons that we're told. And it wasn't done the way we were told. But that doesn't mean it was fake. That doesn't mean nobody died. Because, again, that's not what any of the evidence suggests. And why would they do that? Why would they fake it? Think about it. Why on earth would they fake it? What's the point of doing that? You just go and kill people. They don't care about people. Of course they go and kill people. What on earth would be the point of faking this entire thing and using crisis actors and going through all the trouble of putting out a video that all these people could pull apart and pretend it was fake and find all these faults and do it? Why not just go and kill some people? That's what they do. That's what they do on everything else. Why are they going to do it differently in any of these little shootings that we see around the world? I mean, honestly, folks, do you think they care about people enough to really be using crisis actors for these sort of events? Of course they don't. They just kill people. And as I said, you know, when you look at it, there is nothing to suggest that this video is fake. And when I look at how much stuff has been fabricated regarding the other video and how much stuff that's been fabricated about no shell cases and fake bodies and fake bullets and fake this and fake that and fake gunshots through the windscreen and all this other stuff that's been fabricated, which I've proven for myself is actually all complete lies because I've looked at the video and I've analyzed the video myself, then it's not difficult for me to see that it's the same people claiming the other video is CGI who are claiming that the aftermath video is fake. And, well, if they're going to lie about one thing, why aren't they going to lie about the other thing as well? And, folks, it is a barefaced lie. Look at the video yourself. Put it through some filters and you'll see what I'm talking about. Many of the people doing this, by the way, are the same people who've been pushing the Q narrative for so long. And now they're pushing the concept that this has all been done to take the guns away from the people in the United States. Well, how's that working out for you if Q's got your back and Trump's going to come and save the day? I mean, this is the same people now giving you a completely different narrative about what's happened in New Zealand in regard to how it relates to the deep state and all the stuff they've been pushing. So you watch, these people will soon start claiming that this is all the deep state doing this in order to get to Trump. They'll make it all American. They'll just have Americentric thinking the whole way, and whatever's going on in New Zealand is all about Trump. You watch, that's the narrative they'll push. Very predictable. But you've really got to step back and examine the whole thing. And look what you're being fed by these people, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, there's a lot of disinformation out there in the so-called truth movement, and people really need to use some discernment when getting information from people and choosing which bandwagon they want to jump onto. You know, and think about it, folks. People offering you their expert forensic analysis on what happened in New Zealand, all they've got is the same grainy video that you had. How are they offering you any expert analysis? I mean, what expert? How are they even claiming to be an expert? If they're an expert, what are they doing with a website running a blog online? Really? I mean, is that what experts do? They're not experts, folks. They're just people with an opinion because that's all we have to offer. Everybody out there that you're listening to, all of the people in the so-called truth movement, it's just people with perspectives that they're offering you. That's all I can offer you is my perspective. You know, when I look at this, I'm seeing a different perspective to, I guess, what a lot of other people are seeing because I'm actually looking at the video and I'm analyzing the video and I don't have a stake in the outcome and I'm not claiming to be an expert on anything. I'm just a guy offering you a perspective and asking people to learn how to think again. Because that's what all this is about, folks, is the fact that people can't think for themselves. They won't think for themselves. They just want to follow the leader and go wherever the rabbit hole will lead them. You know, whatever looks attractive to them, whatever appeals to their senses, whatever. Most people don't bother to actually look at things for themselves. And they've got to step back and look at this and realize that what all this is about is freedom. You know, trying to establish freedom. That's what this whole movement has been about right from the beginning. But we've got to a point where the truth movement has been kind of weaponized against freedom simply because of the amount of disinformation in there and the amount of self-styled experts trying to give you their opinion and claim they can give you a forensic analysis on a grainy video they got from Facebook. It's ridiculous, folks. They're not there on the ground. They can't give you any forensic report because they don't have the information to do so. They're not in a position to give you a forensic analysis of anything. So anyone even claiming that that's what they're giving you, well, they're feeding you disinformation, folks. They're just trying to set themselves up as someone who actually knows what they're talking about when they don't. And they've made it very obvious that they don't by the reports that they've been releasing about this event. You know, and really a lot of it is about attempting to tie people up in the details, tie people up in all of this small talk, arguing about all this stuff that they can't prove. The same as 9/11. Everyone's arguing whether it was thermite, whether it was this, whether it was that. You don't know. You weren't there. All we know is it wasn't what the government told us. It's the same as what we know with this event in New Zealand. It's not what they're telling us. It's something different. All of these details, all these people trying to get you to argue about shell casings, trying to get you to argue about blood or no blood or crisis actors or bodies or no bodies, that's not important, folks. What this is about, it's about gun control, it's about world government, it's about censoring the independent media, censoring free speech, censoring social media, and locking everybody down. That's what this is about. And anything else is just leading you down the rabbit hole and distracting your attention. And the only reason I've even gone through all of this stuff today and talked about these shell casings and all this stuff is just to try to dispel some of this disinformation and encourage people to think for themselves and look at the bigger picture. Don't get tied up in these irrelevant arguments. It's about like arguing whether there was thermite or explosives on 9/11. It's irrelevant. What we know is that it's not what we're told, and we know what the aftermath of 9/11 was, which was the War of Terror. And that's what this is a continuation of. You've got to look at how this works as a political move, what the play was for, what it's going to be used for, and where it is leading to, how it is going to affect us on a world stage. That's what we need to look at. Not the little details of whether there was blood, or whether there were bullets, or whether it was this, or whether it was that. It was a false flag event. It was done for a specific purpose because all the world is a stage and all of these events happen because they're supposed to happen, because they're designed to lead us in the direction the politicians want to lead us into. And that needs to be the focus on all of this, folks. Don't get caught up in arguing over the details. Look at the bigger picture. And you watch now, you watch the amount of flack I get for putting this video out and for daring to have an opinion that is different to the mainstream of the independent media, because there's a mainstream independent media and there's a mainstream media and there's an actual independent media. But a lot of people in the independent media are actually giving you a mainstream narrative, and people pushing the fact that this is fake are giving you what the mainstream wants you to have. And as I said, folks, you watch the flack that I get from this. You watch the amount of people that attack me, call me a shill because I'm daring to put forth my perspective and it isn't the same as theirs. You watch how this works. But that's the thing, folks, you know, think for yourself. Don't get led down the path. If you see something, say what you see and mean what you say. And what we need now more than anything is honesty and integrity. Don't allow yourself to be led just because other people say something is this way. You don't have to agree with them just because it's trendy to agree with them. Now, we're at a really important time in history, folks, and we owe it to our children. We owe it to the generations that are coming after to deal with this situation. And when these events arise and these things happen right in front of our faces, if we're going to look at them and analyze them and put our two cents out there, we need to be responsible with what we're doing. We really need to think about things, stop jumping on bandwagons and making claims and going in half-cocked, because we're not doing ourselves any favours at all. In fact, we're only doing favours for the government by doing this. And like I said, a lot of people that are putting out this information about CGI bullets and fake cartridges and all this sort of stuff, these are coming from so-called reputable sites, which I would suggest are exposing themselves as not being so reputable at all. And it's another thing that makes me realise that this is part of the end game. These people don't really care about exposing themselves now because the push is almost over. They just want the narrative to go in a certain direction, and there is a real effort to control the narrative that the independent media is putting out and to make it all into this mishmash of disinformation and heartless conspiracy theorists. And they're actually being quite successful with what they're doing, folks. So pay attention and think for yourself. But getting back to the video, the actual video that the shooter that Brendan Tarrant filmed as he was driving there when he went into the mosque, there is definitely some weirdness with this video. I mean, he gets into the car and he says, let's get this party started, and then he says, subscribe to PewDiePie. Very strange thing for him to say. That may be a dig at the independent media as well. He may be saying to the people out there, yeah, all you people out there, just go and entertain yourselves with mindless drivel and forget about the migrant invasion that's happening into your country. So that may be the reference that he's used there, just to maybe associate him with the independent media so that people think that he thinks like us. It could be anything else. Could be a mind control reference. I mean, we don't know. This has all the elements of mind control and Manchurian candidate written all over it, like I said, or possibly just a black ops assassin who was just doing his gig for the day. So that's one thing. You know, when he is driving along in the car, he's listening to some weird type of Serbian music, the type of music the Serbians would use before they would go and massacre the Croatians, which is quite interesting. And then it switches to some kind of marching music, you know, military type of marching music, whistling music. And he drives into the mosque, and then he does a U-turn, and he pulls back into the driveway. He gets out of the car. When he's pulling back into the driveway, there's some people walking across the driveway. He waves them past, no problem. And then he gets out of the car, he grabs his guns, he walks down the sidewalk, and the people that walk past the driveway are standing near the entrance to the mosque, near the driveway there. And one of them kind of casually glances at him as he's walking into the driveway of the mosque, and seems completely unperturbed about it. And you got to understand, this man's wearing paramilitary fatigues, he's wearing body armor, he's carrying an AR-15 over his right shoulder, and a shotgun in his hands, and the man doesn't seem perturbed about it at all. There's also a car in the car park, and you can see that there's someone just gotten into the car, the door is closing, and they don't seem too perturbed about him as well, so you must question whether these were Brendan Tarrant's handlers. Don't know, but it just seems very weird that these people seemed completely unperturbed at a paramilitary, fully armoured gunman holding two weapons walking past them into the driveway, and he didn't seem concerned about them either. He just walked straight past them and walked in and started shooting. Another interesting thing is that when he emptied the shotgun clip and threw that down and switched to the rifle, the AR-15, he fired a few shots, then he turned to the right and fired into the room on the right, and then he continued down the hall, and he glances down, there's already a clip on the ground. So you've got to question, what was that clip doing there? Now, I'm open to the possibility that as he turned right into the room, he threw a clip out in front of him, but I didn't see him do it, so I don't know. But that's the only time that could have happened, but it seems kind of strange that that clip was there. And we know it's a clip because he came back and picked up that clip later on and used it. There was a moment later in the car when he was driving away that he mentioned that he dropped a clip and he had to run back to get the clip. And we could also assume that that is the clip that he dropped. It was interesting. He said, I dropped a clip in the middle of the firefight. Now, this wasn't a firefight. This was a man shooting defenseless people. So this again brings in the question of mind control. What was he seeing? Who did he think he was shooting? Don't know. Interesting question. But it certainly wasn't any firefight that he was involved in. And it seems weird for him to have left those people at the front and in the car park and not have taken them out as he walked in there. Perhaps he didn't want to alert the people inside. I don't know what it was about, why we'd have left those people there. But he seemed quite concerned about people in the car park when he first came out. Because when he first comes out of the mosque, he looks to the right. He's concerned about something happening on the right. And then he runs out to the front. He runs down to his car and he gets another gun out of the back of his car, and then he runs out the front and he shoots down the sidewalk and he shoots someone. Looks like he shoots someone down the sidewalk because he looks later on down that direction and it appears that there's someone lying on the ground down the sidewalk. But again, low bandwidth makes it hard to see. But he runs down to the other driveway and he shoots someone standing at the end of the alley, and you can see that there is someone standing there who drops to the ground. This is another false report that I saw that was put out by someone saying, oh, he ran out to the alley and he shot down the alley and there's no one there. Well, there actually is. There's actually one or two people down that alley, and you see them drop. You see someone wearing dark clothing drop to the ground, and possibly there's someone in light clothing that falls to the ground as well. There was at least one person, possibly two people down that side alley of the mosque, so that wasn't shooting for no reason. Yeah, and as before, the reason it's difficult to spot these people is again because of bad video compression, you know, crappy bandwidth. You know, but if you get the video and look, you'll see that there is someone there, and that's why it's so disturbing that the claims about this are coming from people who are saying that they've made detailed forensic analysis of the video, and obviously they haven't. Yeah, so anyway, there were people down the alley, and like I said, there were people out the front when he first went into the mosque. That is really kind of weird, the people standing there as he went in, and the magazine halfway down the hall. These are two very strange things. And I'm open to the possibility that they were lost in conversation and simply didn't notice what the guy was wearing or carrying, but it seems weird that someone could be dressed like that, carrying that amount of weaponry, and walk straight past two people and they just didn't happen to notice. It does seem strange. Again, and so does the magazine being halfway down the hall against the left-hand wall, or near the left-hand wall anyway. Again, he could have thrown that out, as I said. He could have thrown that out as we turned to the right. I mean, he appeared to have magazines that were taped together, like back to front, so that you could actually pull one out, just turn it up the other way and shove the other one back in. There is a chance that as he picked up the AR-15, or as he turned to the right, as I said, perhaps that magazine was thrown forward. I'm not sure. very, very hard to confirm any of that sort of stuff, but it just does seem weird that that magazine was there halfway down the hall. But again, another question, I mean, you've got to ask whether that was put there for him so that he did have ammunition in there. Perhaps it was left there by whoever set the whole operation up. Perhaps the people that were there, perhaps that's why they were all huddled in the corner, because they thought this was going to be a terrorist drill. I mean, who knows? Who knows how it all really went down? But again, if that was going to happen, you'd think that perhaps some of the families would have known about it. You know, they probably would have been excited. Oh, we've been asked to be involved in a drill tomorrow or something. You know, I mean, you just don't know. It seems weird that it would have been a drill with the people involved. You know, if that would happen, you would think that they would have had some form of prior knowledge and that their families would know or something like that would know. So that's a strange one as well. These are the questions that we have to ask, though. So, yeah, all very interesting. I mean, like I said, he did mention that he dropped a clip and he had to run back and get it. So you just don't know. We don't know why that was there and how it got there, but it is weird that that clip was in the hall. The soundtrack that he picked was very weird as well. I mean, obviously he was running some sort of a prepared soundtrack in the car. It wasn't just the radio he was listening to. When he gets back into the car, there's an old song by Arthur Brown playing, you know, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, an old song from the 60s called Fire. You might remember that song. I am the God of Hellfire and I bring you fire. I bid you to burn, blah, blah, blah. It's an old song, Arthur Brown. I think the band was actually called The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Arthur Brown's still around, actually. He lives at Lewes in England. And then later on in the car, it switches to Marilyn Manson, and then the video stops, presumably because Facebook then ended the live stream. I don't know. But it's a very, very strange video, folks, and it's a very strange event. Like I said, it has all the hallmarks of Manchurian Candidate or possibly even Black Ops Assassin. But some strange stuff, like the subscribe to PewDiePie comment and the comment about dropping a clip in the middle of the firefight, is very strange as well. Because, as I said, there was no firefight. This was simply someone massacring defenseless people. So what was he seeing? Who did he think he was shooting? These are questions that need to be asked. But through it all, folks, as I said, you know, there's a danger of getting tangled up in the details and arguing about what your belief system dictates you should argue about rather than actually looking at what this event means on the largest scale and how it's going to be played. Because this is an event, as I said, that is going to affect the entire world. And this event is about gun control in all countries. It's about world governance, all countries coming together. It's about surveillance in all countries. It's about internet censorship, and it's about locking out the independent media. They are really desperate for the independent media to be reporting disinformation on this, so be careful of what bandwagons you're jumping onto. Realize they banned this video just so this debate can take place, not because they don't want you to look at the video. They just want people making claims that can be proven to be untrue so that they can lock the independent media down. So be very careful of what you're doing, folks. But, folks, we have reached that time again where it is now the end of the show, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. And like I said, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack from this. I'm going to get a lot of accusations from people. People are going to call me a shill because I'm not supporting the mainstream alternate narrative, which is what it is. I'm looking at things and I'm forming my own opinions, and that isn't tolerated by many people in the independent media these days, because the independent media is very controlled, ladies and gentlemen. And this event has shown just how controlled it is. And like I said, a lot of the people that are actually operatives, I believe, have exposed themselves through their reporting on this event, through their claims that they've made detailed forensic analysis of a video that they haven't. And if you look at the video yourself, you can see that what they're doing is not putting out a mistaken observation. What they're putting out is barefaced lies, and that is an important thing. Now, it's an important thing because it exposes just how close we are to the final lockdown. So pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. But as I said, thank you for joining me on the air today. We've completely run out of time. Thank you to all the kind emails that people send me. Thank you to my Patreon supporters. Those people that are waiting on T-shirts, I've been so busy I haven't got any orders out this week, but I will get them all out to you either today or on Monday. I will get all those orders out. So thank you for bearing with me on that. But I have completely run out of time now. I will look forward to speaking to you all again next week. Please take very good care until then. in Lakesh.